We are no longer slaves to fear. Hallelujah. And we are children of God forever. Hallelujah. Scripture says in John chapter 1, verse 12, says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave power to be called the sons, to become the sons of God. He gave authority to be called sons of God." Says we are not born of flesh nor the will of man, but we are born of God. Hallelujah. And the book of John, 1 John 3 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has given upon us, that we should be called children of God." Amen. To be called a child of God means that you have God's DNA inside of you. It means that everything that God has, you have it. Hallelujah. It means you exist eternally. That's why it's called eternal life. Amen, amen. And these are the things that the believer must know for him to be able to rest, stay in God's rest. To stay in God's rest means to stay in the knowledge of what Jesus has done. Hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you, Father. We'll just speak in tongues for in 1 minute. Hallelujah, speak in tongues in 1 minute. And then we get into the word. Just soak in the fact that Jesus has died and rose again.
Salvation, Jesus died and lives forevermore. He lives never to depart again, forevermore. Jesus died and lives forevermore.
Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we receive your word as your son Jesus. We receive edification tonight. God, I commit myself to you. Help me to teach your word in the clarity of your word, and not to be careless in teaching, but to be careful. Let your word be taught by your help. We ask, oh God, take control. Let your name be glorified. We decree that we obey the Father, and Jesus is glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let's get into the word. Revelation chapter 6. So we are in the book of Revelation, and we have gone a journey, just not quite a journey yet, but we've gone at least to some important areas. We established that to understand a book of the Bible, it must be read in the context in which it was written. So to understand any book of the Bible, you must understand the context. By context, what we mean by context is understanding the audience, understanding the purpose for its inscription, or for the understanding why it was written, essentially. Okay, understanding the situation surrounding it, understanding whom it was written to, when it was written, why it was written, understand how the people who it was written to would have understood it then. So we said, we use 2 Timothy 3, saying that from a child you have known the Holy Scripture. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, Paul spoke to Timothy, he said, "You have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus." It then says, all Scripture, referring to what? Genesis to Malachi. All Scripture is inspired by God, or is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. The word reproof means evidence, for correction and instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, perfect and thoroughly equipped unto every good work. So it then tells Timothy in chapter 4, "I charge you by God who judges the living and the dead, that you preach the word and be instant in season and out of season," and all of that stuff. So, but essentially he's saying that the Scriptures are profitable for doctrine. So what Scriptures? Genesis to Malachi. So that means Timothy was meant to understand the Scriptures, the message of the Scriptures, to profit him for something he was meant to teach in his own world. So that means it's for you to correctly apply any book of the Bible in your world today, you must first understand it for what it was written then. So that would mean that context is the primordial is the primordial level of correct Bible interpretation. So you must understand the context for which it was written for you to correctly apply it. But the mistake of the church today, of some believers, is, I'm not saying the church, because it's not the whole church making the mistake. Mistake of some believers is we leave text of the scriptures and instant and directly apply it to us. Okay, so when we find a situation that looks like something that we want to escape or get an answer or solution for, we just look for a scripture. For example, if you want to get a job, you then look for a scripture that says, Abraham, as far as you can see, you will take the land. And then you then say, Lord, I take my job. I take that rent. I mean, I take that position in the office. I just take it. Lord, you said in your word that whatever I say, as my eyes will see, that is what I will take. You know, I will be the head and not the tail. God, I will never be a servant. I will be a boss. I will never be a servant. Father, the spirit of entrepreneurship, get upon me right now. Father, receive that kingdom level, you know. Another word there is kingdom. The use of the word kingdom is bastardized by the Christian body, hallelujah, but it's things are changing now. We know that the kingdom of Christ has nothing to do with money or material value, right? Material value, if anything, it often looks like something irrelevant in the material world. You know, but Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Hallelujah. So, so that's the essence of correct scriptural interpretation, to understand the original context so that you can correctly apply it in your world. Hallelujah. So to understand the book of Revelation, we've established that the book of Revelation has its context. It is kind of careless for us or kind of irresponsible of us as believers to assume that the book of Revelation refers to something in the future. Have you properly read the book? Just read the book normally, like every other epistle. You realize that the book of Revelation was not written to us. Okay, now it can be written for us, because 1 Corinthians 10 says that for the things that happened aforetime were written for us, for our learning. All right, so you read and you learn, you get lessons from them. Not that you read and say, this is to me. So we said that the book of Revelation was written to what? The first church, the seven churches at Asia. We said that the events of the book of Revelation happened within that period. Okay, and we are establishing and clarifying everything. Okay, we've established, okay, the punishment that Jesus gave to the churches, the discipline rather, that Jesus gave to the churches, the seven churches, what did they mean? Okay, if you missed that, please ensure that you go back and listen to them. It will help you as a believer who is wants to be sound in God's word. You know, one thing that I know that believers often miss is sometimes going back to what you were taught, or even even listening to it at all. Hallelujah, praise the name of Jesus Christ. So, we would really ask you guys to listen to it. Hallelujah. So, because a time will come when things change oftentimes in the world, and the world is unpredictable. We call it the volatile, unpredictable, complex, and ambiguous world. That's VUCA in business world. We call it like that because there are things that will keep on happening, innovations. And then when innovations come, people tend to look for Bible verses that look like, AI is taking over the world right now. It seems like that's the Antichrist, you know, begin to find. Say how would the computer begin to give you answers? Where is it getting the answers from? Where would you get what's ChatGPT? And you know, ChatGPT, the word GPT, some that G is for, you know, it's the beginning of the word goat, and the Satan is used as the word goat. You know, GPT, Prince of Persia, T stands for you know, terror. You know, begin to find things that you know support that nonsense. So that's the problem with wrong theological approach to Bible study. Hallelujah. So but tonight we just want to look at something. Look at the book of Revelation chapter 6, where we stopped last week. Hallelujah. So we just use common Bible interpretation to interpret the book of Revelation. So like I said, it's a book of visions. It's a book of visions, and visions have what's it called? symbols, metaphors, okay, imagery. The likes of Peter had a vision, saw animals, and then those animals were not supposed to be taken literally, okay? And the animals referred to the Gentiles, those who were non-Jews, that God was saying to Peter, the Jews, the Gentiles, right, are also qualified to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, because neither Jew nor Gentile will be qualified by the law, right? But everybody will qualify by faith in Christ. Hallelujah. And then we saw that the Lamb of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus is not an animal, neither is he a lion. We said the word lion, where it says lion of the tribe of Judah, does not mean that God is a lion. So we said God is not bipolar. That is not schizophrenic. It doesn't have two characteristics. It doesn't have, it doesn't switch gender. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I have joy in the Holy Ghost, in case you're wondering why I just laughed. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, amen. So we said that the word lion refers towards his victory, and that lion, the victory of that lion was seen as the victory of sacrifice. So God's power is actually in sacrifice, not in terror. All right. Amen. Revelation chapter 6. Let's read it. I would look at it in the NLT version. Amen. Abadoza. Gida Balobo. Thank you, Father. All right, Revelation chapter 6. This is where we stopped. I'll just run, take off. It says, as I watched, the Lamb broke the first of the seven seals of the scroll. Now, we said the word scroll means a testament. And Matthew 26, verse 28, Jesus said, this is my blood, the blood of the New Testament. In Matthew, when they had the last supper, or the Lord's supper, whatever, when they had the last supper, the Passover, actually, what it was, Jesus said, this is my blood. Drink it, for the blood of the New Testament. So where you have to understand, the testament of Jesus refers to his sacrifice. So this scroll that Jesus was opening was not a literal scroll, but it depicts the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's just the scroll refers to that's in the Jewish context, in the Jewish world, the scroll refers to a will or a testament. Okay, so Jesus opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard the voice of the four living beings saying with a loud voice, "Come." Okay, we looked at the elders, right? The 24 elders. It says, I looked up and I saw a white horse standing there. We said the person on the white horse was Jesus Christ. Amen. The second seal, verse 3, says, when the Lamb broke the second seal, I heard the second voice say, come. Then another horse appeared, the red one. We're going to look into that. It's a rider, the mighty sword, and authority was the authority to take peace from the earth. And there was war and slaughter everywhere. Now, where was this war? Where was this slaughtering? Please follow. Do not assume that the war and the slaughtering would be now. Because when someone say that Russia against Ukraine, just like in the book of Revelation, Jesus always said it. He said there will be wars. Jesus is coming soon. So what in this book, is that what the writer was referring to? Is that what Jesus intended to communicate by an angel? Is that what he meant? We're going to look at that shortly. Verse 5 says, when the Lamb broke the third seal, I heard the living being saying, come. I looked up and saw the black horse, okay? And the rider was holding a pair of shoes. a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard the voice from from among the four living beings saying, a loaf of wheat, three loaves of barley will cost a day's pay, and don't waste the olive wine. Now, this refers to a crash of the economy. Okay, verse 7 says, when the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the fourth living being saying, come. I looked and I saw a horse whose color was pale green. His rider was named Death, and his companion was named Grave. I like how this one put it, Grave. The King James Version used the word hell, so people are not thinking of fire. Thank God we've done the teaching on hell, what hell is. So if you miss that, please go and listen to the teaching on hell. So you're not going to start telling somebody something that is not substantial in your defense of the gospel. It's so important. Then it says, these were two These two were given authority over 1/4 of the earth to kill with the sword and the famine, right, and disease and wild animals. Verse 9. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar souls of all who have been martyred for the word of God and for the faithful and for being faithful in their testimony. Verse 10. They shouted, "O Lord, O Sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge your people?" Now, it means that there are people who were killed before this time for the sake of Jesus Christ, referring to the prophets in the Old Testament. Verse 11. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and all of that, and all of that. Let's see how we can fly. We have a sixth seal. The sixth seal brought about the earthquake. Verse 13 now. Then look at verse 13. This is where I want us to focus on. Then the stars of the sky fell to the earth like green figs falling from a tree shaken by a strong wind. Okay? Notice the poetic way this thing is written. It says, the stars of the sky fell to the earth like green figs falling from a tree shaken by a strong wind. Okay? Now, the angel is clearly using imagery to typify something. What does this mean? Does it mean that the stars at some point in time, in this time, or since we've established it now that he's not referring to the future, was there any point in their world that the stars fell to the earth? Now we know that if that was so, I think we would not have us today. Verse 14 said, the sky was rolled up like a scroll, and all of the mountains and the islands moved from their places. Wow. Then everyone, kings of the earth, rulers, generals, wealthy and powerful people, all of these people, what did they say? Verse 16. They cried to the mountains and rocks, fall on us so that we're going to die. For the great day of the wrath of the Lamb has come. Who will survive? Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Glory, glory, glory. Are you there? Amen, amen. All right. So let's explain that verse 13. So this, the stars and the skies falling down to the earth. This is to a Jew, then he would understand what this writer meant or what the angel typified. He would understand by this time, the apostles, the churches to whom these letters were written, or this letter was written, they would have understood this. They would have understood this by this time. Why would they have understood this? Because Luke chapter 24, Jesus, after his resurrection, explained to his disciples, explained to them on their way to Emmaus and explained to them from Genesis to Malachi. He said the things concerning himself. And then 40 days after then, he still explained the scriptures to them. So by this time, they're expected to understand this. Let me show you an example. Look at Acts chapter 2. That's Peter quoting Joel. Look at the book of Acts chapter 2. Right? Amen. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 15. When the gift of the Holy Ghost was expressed by speaking in tongues for the first time. This was on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost just means 49 days after the Passover. Okay, it doesn't mean Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Hope that helps your theology. Hallelujah. Verse 15, Acts 2 verse 15. Are you there? Verse 15 says, now this is when they spoke in tongues. Just try to clarify again. For the first time. Peter, in defense and explanation, gives an explanation from the Old Testament, right? He explains it from the Old what? Testament. What did he explain it as? He said, for these are not drunken. So these people are not drunk. Let me read the NLT. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming, because they thought they were drunk, because they were speaking like people that were crazy. Amen? That's why speaking in tongues cannot be speaking in Chinese. Now, let's read on. It says, 9 o'clock. It is 9 o'clock in the morning. It says 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. Verse 16. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. He then quotes Joel. In these last days, now this is Joel chapter 2, verse 20. In the last days, okay, last days, you see the word last days refers to what? This gift. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Verse 18, in those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Verse 19, and I will cause wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, if you are reading this in when Joel said it, if you are reading this, you would almost think, you probably think, if you're not a Jew, that he meant that there will be a time when the sun will become dark. And the moon will turn blood red before that glorious and great day of the Lord. That day when the stars will fall from the sky. You see? But that is not what Joel meant. Joel was using a poetic right way of expressing the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The gift of the Holy Ghost. So he expresses the judgment of God in such harsh terms, prophetic language. They call it apocalyptic language. Apocalyptic language. That's what the prophets often used. Okay? So it's often expressed in harsh terms. But what did he mean? The judgment of God was in speaking in tongues. How is speaking in tongues a judgment? Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth will come, he would not speak of himself, but he will testify of me. Right? Of me, because I have come to do what? To judge the world. As I'm paraphrasing now. Well, you see, when you speak of Jesus' resurrection, you are speaking in tongues. You know, the Bible says they glorified God. Glorified him in what sense? Glorified the fact that he's risen, he's Lord. He's seated on the throne. He died and rose again. So that would mean that unless you bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to be condemned. That is already judgment. So that is seen in a sign called speaking in tongues. It shows that is the way that God then speaks to his people. And no way else. No way else, rather than speaking in tongues. So that's how God chose to speak to his people. So if you're not speaking in tongues as a believer, you're not enjoying God's gifts. As a believer, you need to speak in tongues. You need it. Don't say, oh, if I don't speak in tongues, I don't already have eternal life. That's not enough. You need to know how to speak in tongues. That is the way God speaks to you. Someone was asking me, say, how do I hear the voice of God? How do I hear God's voice? I said, it's by consistent praying in the Holy Ghost and reading of the scriptures. You must know how to pray in the Spirit always. That is the way you hear God's voice. All right? Consistency. That's the way God speaks to his people. Isaiah 28, it says, I will speak to them in another tongue. Another tongue. I will speak to them in another tongue. Isaiah 29, verse 11. Hallelujah. So that speaking in tongues is a sign of God's judgment, that it is only in Christ that men will be saved. So that, because it is only in Christ, the one who is resurrected, who gave the gift of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is a sign of Jesus' resurrection. So when you see that people are speaking in tongues, what are they saying in other words? They are saying, number one, that the gift of the Holy Ghost is given, that God now dwells in men, and also that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is resurrected. Because for Jesus Christ to be resurrected, or for the Holy Ghost to be given, means that Jesus Christ is resurrected. Hallelujah. That's the only way the Spirit of God will dwell in men, when the Messiah rises from the dead. So that is God's judgment. So, but this prophet then says it will be like fire, right? It will be as though the suns came down. What does it mean? When you say the suns, the stars, these are ideations of power, political power, kingdoms of the world. The earth, it will be as though the power of the earth, the things that the earthly men look up to as powerful, those things will come down. So that means the kingdom of this world will bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. To the Spirit of God. Notice it says, first of all, that his Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, and then the sun will be darkened. Everything will come down. So what is he saying? Only Jesus Christ will be seen. Hallelujah. So if you look at another, I'll give you another text. Look at the book of Ezekiel chapter 35. Look at Ezekiel chapter 35. Ezekiel 35. What am I typing? Ezekiel chapter 35. Oh, 1 second, please. All right. Sorry, Ezekiel chapter 32. Ezekiel chapter 32. I read verses. Okay, now, just for context, Ezekiel chapter 32 was when God spoke to Ezekiel how Egypt was going to be attacked by Babylon and how Egypt was going to go down, as well as Babylon. All right. So God said, look at verse 1, just so that you know. I'm reading the NLT. On March 3, or on the 3rd of March, then, during the 12th year of the king of the king Jehoiakim, of the king Jehoiakim's captivity, excuse me, this message came to me, that's Ezekiel, from the Lord. He said, "Son of man, mourn for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and give him this message. You think yourself as a strong young lion among the nations, but you are really just a sea monster heaving around in your own rivers, stirring up mud with your feet. Now, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will send many people to catch you in my net and haul you out of the water. Verse 4, I will leave you stranded on the land to die. All the birds of the heavens will land on you. Okay, and the wild animals of the whole earth will gorge themselves on you. Verse 5, I will scatter your flesh on the hills and fill the valleys with your bones. Now look at verses 6 to 8. I will drench the earth with your gushing blood all the way to the mountains, filling the ravines to the brim. When I blot you out, I will veil the heavens and darken the stars. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon will not give you its light. Verse 8, I will darken the bright stars overhead and cover your land in darkness. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. So what does this mean? It refers to the fall of political power. The fall of something that is considered politically powerful. So in that context, remember, this is a common language. This is what they are used to. All right? I think Isaiah also uses this language a number of times. Right? Daniel, similar, uses this language a number of times. Jesus used this language a number of times. Hallelujah. So you almost understand what they often meant. So that's why I say, as a Gentile, as a Westerner, all right, or wherever you are from in the world, you must understand how those Middle Eastern people understood their own texts. All right? You don't read it like, for example, you don't read it like a Nigerian or an Englishman. You don't read it like that. You have to understand it how they did. Because if you understand it, if you're reading it in your own lingua, you would be misunderstanding it and misapplying it consequently. So you must understand it in their context. So what did they mean? Refer to the fall of power. It didn't refer to a literal darkening of the sun or whatever it was. Whatever you're seeing there. Revelation chapter 6. Back to Revelation chapter 6. All right, let's look back there. Verse 13, the skies fell to the earth like green fish. So this is not literal. This is imagery. All right? Referring to God's judgment. Hallelujah. How Jesus conquered death by his resurrection. That's his judgment. Hallelujah. Okay? Amen. So, we have established that. So, we spoke about, look at, just backtrack a little bit. If you look at, do I have time for this? The white horse. Where's the white horse? Okay, the red one. Now, the red horse, when it says, then another horse, verse 4, Revelation 6, verse 4, another horse, a red horse appeared. Its rider was given mighty authority and all of that, authority to take peace from the earth. Now, it says, and there was war and slaughter everywhere. Okay? And then if you look at the black horse, all right, was talking about economical crash. Then if you look at another one, verse 8 says, he saw a horse and it was pale green. And then you see death and grave. All right? Amen. So, if you read the book of Ezekiel, that's Ezekiel chapter, let's see, Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 21. Just quickly, let's look at it. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 21. This is a common thing that was happening. Let's look at it. Ezekiel 14, verse 21. A common lingua. All right. Amen. Say, for thus saith the Lord, I'm reading the King James Version, how much more will I send my 40 or my severe judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine, and the noisome, that's the wild beasts, and the pestilence to cut it from land. Right? How much more? Look at Ezekiel chapter 5. Now, when it says severe, it's referring to the famine, the wars, and all of that. Okay? Look at Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 17. It says, so I will send upon you famine, right? Wild beasts, and they shall bereave thee, and pestilence and blood shall pass through thee. I will bring the sword upon thee. So this is something that has always been happening, okay, as God's judgment, all right? Famine upon them. Why is God saying all of these things? Because if you read it in context, because of their idolatry. Okay, they didn't want to serve the true God, they were idol worshippers. Okay, now just from historical documents here, I believe some of you are conversant with historians like Flavius Josephus, we have Tacticus. And there's another major historical document called the Babylonian Talmud. All right, these are documents often used by Bible scholars to justify the existence of Jesus, his actual crucifixion, and the other events of the first century. Okay, that is their own world then. Okay, so in one of the writings there by Josephus, I want to read something here. Okay. Now, Josephus, I'm reading, I just picked this up, okay, from him. By the way, their sources are really available if you want to get them and read them on your own, if you want to just read about certain things. So when somebody say, for example, that Jesus did not exist, even the devil knows that it's a lie. Hallelujah. Because these people were not Christians. They were just historians, people that did not believe in Jesus Christ. I can't remember, there's one in particular that was completely hostile to him, but he definitely acknowledged the events of Jesus Christ in that first century. I'm trying to remember his name, but it can't come up. All right, now, I read Flavius Josephus in his book, The Jewish War. It says, every city was divided. Now, this is referring to that time, okay? First century. It says, every city was divided into two armies encamped against one another. This is referring to the wars that was spoken of in the book of Revelation. Okay? And the preservation of one party was in the destruction of the other. So the daytime was spent in the shedding of blood, and the nights in the fear. It was then common to see cities filled with dead bodies, still lying unburied, and those of old men mixed with infants, all dead and scattered about together. Women also lay amongst them without any covering for their nakedness. You might see the whole province full of inexpressible calamities, while the dread of still more barbarous practices which were threatened was everywhere, greater than what had already been perpetrated. So that is what Josephus wrote. Look at the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 52. All right? Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's just show you something again. Speaking about the same judgment that God was going to bring upon Jerusalem. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 52. Amen. You know, the reason I read that document, I'm not reading it to as Bible doctrine, just for you to know that these things happened. Doesn't mean I don't need Josephus to justify what the Bible is saying, because the Bible itself is historical document. Amen. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 28, please. Deuteronomy 28, verse 52 to 54. From verse 52 to 54, right? And I shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high fenced, please pay attention, your high fenced walls will come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord had given thee. Verse 53, and thou shalt eat the offspring of thy own body, that you will eat your own children's flesh. You eat your children's flesh. And thy sons and thy daughters, which the Lord had given thee in the siege, and all of that. Verse 54, so that the man that is sensitive among you and very refined in his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward his wife and all of those stuff. So, you see, this refers to destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus spoke about that as well. If you look at the book of Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24, Jesus spoke about the destruction of Jerusalem. But before Matthew 24, remember John chapter 4, Jesus said a time is coming, right? And the time is now, where men will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. For God is spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such. So what was Jesus saying? A time was going to come where the people who thought that Jerusalem was the primary place of worship or was the only place of worship would be forced out by God's judgment to not worship there anymore, because Jerusalem was never God's house. I mean, N-E-V-E-R. God spoke in 1 Chronicles 29, speaking to Solomon. He says, have I ever asked you to build me a dwelling place? I've never complained. I've always been with you wherever you went. So why did you build me a temple? All right? That is what God spoke, told Solomon. 1 Chronicles 29. You can read that on your own later. So, but Jesus also spoke of this in Matthew 24. And unfortunately, many think this is about the rapture. When Jesus said in Matthew 24, and by the way, we have a teaching on this, an exhaustive teaching on this, about 40 minutes. So not so long anyways. Just listen to it. It clarifies Matthew 24 and Mark 13 and also Luke 12. I think Luke 21, if I'm correct. All right. Jesus went out. Okay, let's not start from verse 1. Okay, let me read in the NLT just so I don't have any difficulty. Matthew chapter 24 in the NLT. It says, as Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples pointed out to him various temple buildings, but he responded, do you see these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another. Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, said, tell us when all this will happen, and what will be the sign of what your the signal of your return and the end of the world. So what do you think they meant by the understood by the end of the world was when, as it were, all right? Please pay attention. What did the disciples, I explained that in that teaching. The disciples, when they said the end of the world, they were not thinking about the absolute destruction of planet Earth. No, what they thought was the end of the world, according to their scriptural bias or level of revelation, was when the tyranny that they were under will be removed. They thought somehow God would just destroy all their enemies. So that's why after his resurrection, they said, Jesus, when would you, Acts chapter 1, when would you restore the kingdom to Israel? When? And then Jesus replied to them, it is not for you. He then says, now, it's a syntax translation problem. I would have said, when they said, when Jesus said, it is not for you, I would have put a full stop there. I'll say, it is not for you. Then Jesus then continues, says, to know the times and the seasons, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, shall receive power, and the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, all right, to every nation, beginning from Jerusalem. So Jesus was saying, that is not my business. I have not come here for politics. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus is never for politics. He has nothing to do with politics. Nothing. I mean, he has no hand. Like, it's impossible for God to be involved in politics. It is impossible. Hallelujah. That's by the way. So Jesus, when they said the end of the world, that is what they thought. Okay, but you see, they were not so far from it, because at the end of the day, the destruction of the temple was what Jesus was referring to. Now look at verse 4. Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. This happened in their time. All right, this happened in their time. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars. This happened in their times. All right, but do not panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go against nation. Okay, that's what happened. You can see that from historical writings. Kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in the world. It happened in their time. All right, but in all this, only is the first birth of pains, with more to come. Then you'll be arrested. Please follow. Persecuted and killed. This happened in that time. You'll be hated all over the world because you are my followers. All right? And many would turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. This happened in the, between the first century, after the resurrection. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow. This happened in their time. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Saved from what? The destruction that they were about to experience. All right? Amen. Now, please pay attention. This is where people have a problem. Next verse. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. So people say, the whole world. So that means until the gospel is preached to the whole world, literally, Jesus won't come. No, that is not what Jesus meant. Because when you see the whole world in their writings, do not always literally refer to every single country, you know, in the world, you know. Hallelujah. In fact, even if you read down, Jesus said this generation will not pass till these things come to pass. Jesus said some of you standing here will not die till these things come to pass. Though some people try to say that, no, that word generation means it means 40 million years. Continue. One day we'll trust that as well. But that's just not, we don't have time for that right now. Okay, if you want to understand Matthew 24, Mark 13 and also Luke 21, I think I'm mixing it up somewhere. You know, you just listen to that teaching, okay? I sent it to Ikechukwu. The person here is here. His name is Ike. I think that's what his name is. I sent it to him, so you can ask him for the link. It's on TrueWine. Just go to the website. You'll find it under episodes, okay? Episodes. Look for it. You see Mark 13, something like that. Amen. So when he says all the world, he didn't really mean all the world. For example, look at Colossians chapter 1. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Okay? That's verse... Colossians chapter 1. Let's read from verse 4 to 6. Right? Colossians chapter 1, it says, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people. Okay, that's Paul speaking to the Christians at Colossae, which came from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have heard his expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. Now, let's read in the King James Version. It says, verse 6, which is common to you as it is in all the world. Now, at that time, do you think that they had preached the gospel in every way in the world? Or everybody in the world knew the people at Colossae? No. No. Hallelujah. Because there are still places today that people have not heard the word. All right? Praise God. And I'm sure that there were places then too that they had not heard because the word was still spreading. So it's for you to understand the way things are said in scriptures. So when Jesus said the gospel will be preached in all the world, it referred to their own world. Referred to their own world. Not every single nation in the world. That area, the place they were. Okay? Every nation, all right, in that world. Okay, back to Matthew 24. Back to Matthew 24. Okay, verse 14. Okay, it says, then the end will come. Then look at verse 15. It says, the day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about, the sacrilegious object that causes desecration standing in the holy place. Now, let me read it in the King James Version. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel. So Jesus now gives us a clue that he's not just speaking spontaneously, but he's referring to what Daniel said. So Jesus was simply echoing what the prophet said. Let me say this. There is nothing that Jesus said that would happen that you will not find the prophet speak about, because Jesus Christ came as the word of God that came in the mouth of prophets. It came in flesh. Everything that the prophet spoke came in the flesh in Jesus' death, resurrection. So you will not find anything written in the scriptures today that is not fulfilled. Jesus came to fulfill the word that was spoken. Remember Hebrews chapter 1, in time past, the prophet spoke God's word unto our fathers. But now, that's then, God has now spoken to us in his son. So that means everything that they said, Jesus fulfilled. So you're not looking for how to fulfill the book of Revelation now, or fulfill the Matthew 24 now. No, the Matthew 24's prophecy was what Daniel said. Now, Daniel spoke about this, Daniel chapter 7, I think, Daniel chapter 7, 2 through 12. All right, Daniel from chapter 7 to 12, chapter 12 specifically, and chapter 9, you will see the abomination of desolation. The word desolation means desecration, or when you desert a place, or when you abandon a place, like a desert. So that's what the Jerusalem was going, Daniel spoke about it. It was going to be desecrated, going to be abandoned. It's going to be tarnished, brought to humiliation. That's what Daniel spoke about, the temple. And then Jesus says, this is what Daniel spoke about. He says, stand in the holy place. He says, anyone that is reading, let him understand. So this person is not just speaking spontaneously. Hallelujah. That is why it then says, then those in Judea, not those in United Kingdom or in Nigeria, those in Judea. So let's just read the Bible for what it is. So we're not talking to us now. He said, those people that will be in anywhere in their house, wherever they'll be in Nigeria, I know some of you. No. It says those in Judea. So you hear it how they heard it. Those in where? Judea must flee to the hills. Not those in Judea must flee to heaven. It says, flee, run. Anyone that endures will be saved. So run. When they are persecuted, run. Persecution, run. Fight, run away. Don't stay because you'll be killed. It says, a person out on the deck of a roof must not go down into the house to pack. A person out. Now, in that teaching, I explained this book of Daniel. Please go and listen to it. Verse 18. A person out in the field must not return even to get a coat. How terrible and all of that and all of that. Then if you read them down, okay. Amen. Look at verse 29. Jesus speaks. It says, immediately after the anguish of those days, the sun will be what? Darkened. And the moon will give no light. You see that from where? Ezekiel. From where? Daniel. From who? Isaiah. the words of the prophets, and the stars will fall from the sky. So when you see in Revelation that the stars will fall from the sky, is it referring to literal stars, or is it referring to what? Power, the earthly power. Of course, the earthly power, political power, the fall of Jerusalem. The temple in Jerusalem was a political symbol of God's presence, not where God really dwelt. He says, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews. Look at the book of Hebrews as we close. Amen. Look at the book of Hebrews. This book of Revelation will take more time. Sorry for international audience. I just spoke in tongues, isn't it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, as we close. Hebrews chapter 12. Says the earth will be shaken. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you there? Now let's read from verse 21. See, are you there? It says, and so terrible was the sight. Okay, let me read the NLT. Okay, no, I like the King James Version for this. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quick. I'm terrified. That's what the NLT says. It says, but you are come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the firstborn, which are in heaven, which are written in heaven, to God, judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect. Those just men refer to the Old Testament prophets, by the way. Verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the old covenant, of the new covenant, excuse me, and to the blood of sprinkling and all of that. Okay, now look at verse 25. It says, see that you do not refuse him that spoke. It says, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we return away from him that spoke from heaven, whose voice shook the earth, but now he had promised, saying, yet once more shall I shake not the earth only, but what? The heavens. So these people were expecting this to happen. Hallelujah. God was going to shake the earth. What earth? The earth of Jerusalem. So there's a context to these words. There's a context attached to these words. So that means oftentimes when you're reading the Bible, you should see words as symbols that carry underlying information, underlying images, underlying truths. They are just like, they are just symbols. Symbols. So when you say they shake the earth, they knew what they meant by the earth. That earth. Not the whole earth. Hallelujah. Then verse 27 says, and this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So what are the things that were shaken that were made with hands? The temple. Verse 28, wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be what? Moved. Let us have grace, and whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So you see that we cannot serve God with reverence and godly, truthful fear. That what God means, truthful fear, not nonsense fear of animals and sacrifices, all of that. This is why God is what? A consuming fire. Why they call him a consuming fire? Because he shook the earth by his resurrection. And he desecrated the temple. Man's sacrifices. He made an open show. Hallelujah. A ridicule of carnality. Of self-righteousness. That is what he said. The sun will be darkened when the Spirit of God descends. Glory to God. And that means, when they spoke in tongues, hallelujah, was the first sign that Jesus had resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. That's where I'll stop for tonight. I hope that it's quite clear what we just read. I'll try to see how we can catapult, because it's... Okay, someone just asked the name of the website. It's... I'll type it. It's thetruewine.org. Thetruewine.org, okay? Thetruewine.org. Amen. Guys, it's always a joy for me to bring you God's word. I always have joy sharing the word of God with you. If you have any questions, please, you may ask in the next few minutes. I'll be waiting for you here. Next, I'll just give you like 30 seconds. okay, thetruewine.org. So that is quite clear for us in the book of Revelations. Okay, so all the famines and all of those things, those are the things that were spoken about in that event that occurred in AD 70. Hallelujah. AD 70. There's so much material to read more, right? So much. I mean, extra biblical materials to even read, right? To help you understand, you know. I was going to read one about Joseph, but I think I'll do that next teaching. Okay? So, guys, it's... Any questions? Any questions quickly? Please, any questions before we go? Let's just pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Allah Ta'ala. Oh, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus.